Recorded Books presents Shields of Pride by Elizabeth Chadwick, narrated by Jill Tanner. Chapter 1. Summer, 1173. Swearing through his teeth, Jocelyn de Gael drew rein at the head of his mercenary troop and scowled at the covered baggage wain that was slewed across the Clerkenwell Road, blocking the way. He had been in the saddle since dawn. It was late afternoon now, had been raining all day, and the comfort of his father's London house was still 5 miles away on the other side of the obstruction. An assortment of knights and men-at-arms surrounded the wain like witnesses clustering around a fresh corpse, while a crouched man examined a damaged wheel. His cloak was trimmed with sable, his boots were of red leather, and the horse his squire held was clean-limbed and glossy. A handful of women huddled together, anonymous in mantles and hoods, and watched the men from beneath the dubious shelter of an ash tree overhanging the road. Dismounting, Jocelyn tossed his reins to his own squire and approached the crippled wain. The soldiers stiffened, hands descending to sword hilts and fingers tightening upon spear shafts. The crouching man stood up, and his gaze narrowed as he recognised Jocelyn. Jocelyn eyed Giles de Montsorel with similar disfavour. The Baron was distantly related to the Earl of Leicester, and thus considered himself a man of high standing. He viewed Jocelyn, the bastard of a warrior who had carved his own nobility by the sword, as dung beneath his boots. They had encountered each other occasionally on the French tourney circuits, but no amity had sprung from these meetings, Montsorel not being the kind to forgive being bowled from the saddle on the end of a blunted jousting lance. Forced by circumstance to be civil, Montsorel gave Jocelyn an icy nod, which Jocelyn returned in the same spirit before fixing his attention on the broken wheel. Not just broken, he could see now, but with a hopelessly shattered rim. "You haven't a chance in hell of cobbling a repair here," he said. "You'll have to hire another cart from the nearest village." He walked slowly around the stricken wain, examining it from all angles before halting in front of the three sturdy cobs, still harnessed in line between the shafts. "How much weight do you carry?" "None of your business," Montsorel snapped. "Oh, but it is," Jocelyn said. "I cannot bring my own wain past while yours is obstructing the road. If it's not too heavy, I'd be more than willing to help you drag it to one side." Montsorel glared. "You think I'm going to stand aside for hired scum like you?" Jocelyn thumbed the side of his jaw. Suddenly he was very aware of the pressure of his sword hilt against his hip. "Hired scum?" he repeated softly. One of the women murmured to her companions and, detaching herself from their group, stepped forward to place herself between the two men. She faced Jocelyn, forcing him to divert his attention from Montsorel. She had delicate features and unfathomable grey-blue eyes that held his for a moment before she turned to indicate the broken wain. "Messire, by the time we have found a wheelwright or hired another cart, the city gates will have closed for the night." She hesitated. "Forgive me, but I notice your own wain is larger than ours, and but lightly laden. I am sure if you lent it to us of a kindness, my husband would compensate you for your inconvenience." Jocelyn stared at her in surprise. He was accustomed to being propositioned by women, but in different social circumstances, and for different reasons, it had to be said, and never in front of their husbands. She looked down, a flush brightening her cheeks. The rain continued to fall in a steady, cloth-soaked
Sample complete. Ready to continue?